Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Glad you're with us today as we continue in our study of the book of Hebrews. And so far, Bob and Richard have shared a lot of very exciting insights into this great book, and I'm sure today's study will be absolutely no different. So, Bob, where do we start today?
We're in Hebrews chapter 11. We started in Hebrews chapter 11 last week, and we're going to move a little further into it. And next week, we'll probably finish 11 and get into chapter 12. But this is just a wonderful, insightful chapter about the story of Old Testament saints, and each and every one God commended for their faith. Yes. And I think that's so important for us to understand. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And these folks express faith in the promises of God that were revealed to them at that particular time in history. Mm-hmm. And now we have the ultimate promise of God delivered to us in Jesus Christ, and we believe, we trust, we have faith in what Christ has accomplished for us. And so just as God is telling the story of these Old Testament saints through the lens of faith, he's going to tell our story through that same lens. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are afraid of Judgment Day, many Christians, because they believe that God is going to put up on the big video screen in the sky their entire life, all of the nasty things that they've done or said or thought, and all of their sins are just going to be broadcast for everyone who's ever lived to see. And that's just not the case. Why? Because God remembers our sins no more. And chapter 11 is the perfect illustration of that. Mm-hmm. We don't see any of the sins of these saints of old mentioned. We only see their life lived by faith in the promises of God. And so when we stand before God, we're going to be commended for our faith as well. And boy, that's going to be a wonderful thing to hear God say about us, and how God is going to tell our story through that lens of faith. And why? Because that's the very thing that's pleased him, the fact that we've believed his son. So last week we looked at Enoch, we looked at Noah, we looked a little bit at Abraham, and we're going to dive a little deeper into Abraham's story. And I think it's important for us to do that, Richard, because he's the one that is called the father of faith.
Yes.
So it's the faith of Abraham that we really step into when we believe the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's a wonderful story about Abraham willingly offering up his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and how God intervened in that. And there was a ram, and it says God provided for us. And with that, you know, Abraham was commended for his faith for doing that. And then God kind of re-talked to him about the blessings that were to come that he had already given him in Genesis 15. And this story was in Genesis 22. But here the writer of Hebrews kind of tells that story through the lens of resurrection.
Yes.
And that's significant, isn't it?
It is. I mean, and if you look at the story, there are so many parallels. First of all, Abraham, the father of the faithful. If we didn't have Abraham, God would have come up with someone else. But Abraham is the pivotal character in the Old Testament because Jesus was promised to come through him. And when we get to Abraham and his son Isaac and offering him, you even see some of the things that Jesus said in that. When they got to the top of the mountain or on their way up the mountain, and Isaac asked, well, here's the wood and all of that, but where's the sacrifice? And God will provide is the answer. And they get up there, and what did Isaac do? Isaac could have taken his father out, but instead he laid down his life. He laid of his own choice on top of that wood and was waiting for his father to kill him. Jesus said the same thing in John chapter 10. He says, I lay my life down. Nobody's going to take this from me. I lay it down of my own accord because I was given this command by my father.
Yeah.
Oh, talk about a fulfillment. And then And of course, God's not going to let Abraham kill Isaac, or would he? Because by faith, Abraham thought, well, if I kill him, God will raise him back to life. Well, what happened to Jesus? Raised back to life. I mean, the whole picture is painted in that one little story of the whole, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And Abraham covers it with his son.
Yeah.
And God provided, God brought the ram to them. Of course, the ram becomes important in the whole story later on in the Mosaic Covenant. I mean, all of this stuff happens, and God is just saying, watch me paint the picture. And here's a little bit, and there's a little bit. And if you step back and look at this picture, you're going to see something beautiful.
Yes, indeed. And I love how the writer of Hebrews kind of summarized the whole thing. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. So Isaac was the son of promise.
Yes.
I mean, his birth was miraculous.
Yes.
Sarah was well past childbearing age. Abraham was as good as dead. And yet, out of that, God acted and brought forth a son named Isaac. And through this son, the world was going to be blessed. So that's an amazing promise. And then, out of the blue, comes this command of God, sacrifice him, take him up, lay him on an altar, slay him. And I'm sure Abraham's just thinking, why, Lord? What? He's the son of promise. He's the guy we've been waiting for. And now you're saying for me to take his life? And somewhere along that three-day journey, I think it hit Abraham's mind that, wait a minute, if God is saying to take his life, then obviously God has the power to bring him back to life.
Yes.
To bring him back from the dead. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews says. Though Isaac shall your offspring be named, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back.
Yes.
So Abraham probably was the first human being to ever live that ever thought about the idea of resurrection, that God had power over death, that God could actually abolish death and bring life out of death. Well, that's what faith in Jesus Christ is all about. I love how Paul put it in Romans 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about the importance of resurrection.
Yeah.
He says, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Your faith is of no value apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Abraham believed way back then. And when we step into the faith of Abraham, what we are believing is that God raised Jesus from the dead. And because he raised Jesus from the dead, he too can raise us from the dead spiritually.
Yes.
And give us new life.
Yeah.
That's the faith of Christianity.
That's the faith of Christianity, and it's the faith that we present each day here on Basic Gospel, that what we're saying is true, and we appreciate the fact that so many of you support this message. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and it is our weekly study through the book of Hebrews with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're very glad that you've joined us today. You know, friends, Basic Gospel constantly has opportunities set before us to expand the outreach of the ministry, and it's why we constantly speak of the need. There are countless others who have not yet had the opportunity to hear this basic gospel message, and you can help carry it far beyond the current boundaries with your donation. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Make your gift today if you can, and help take this message far and wide. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, again, our study in Hebrews continues, and again, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and start looking at some other folks that were commended for their faith, and you know, from Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, there's Joseph, And so the writer of Hebrews just briefly mentions these.
Yes, telescopes an awful lot of
history down into just a couple of sentences. But what emerges is important in all of those stories is their life of faith, mm-hmm. is the fact that they believed God, and they believed God concerning the promises around Jesus. So these aren't just empty promises, you know, I'm going to give you this or I'm going to give you that. They're all tied some way to the person and work of Jesus Christ, aren't they, Richard?
Yes, yes. And that's the thing you've got to keep in mind, whether you're hearing Old Testament stories in a compressed way like this, or you're back in Genesis and Exodus and all the rest, reading them and looking at the whole thing. It's all about Jesus. Every picture painted ends up being about Jesus. It's sort of like if you were looking at some weird representational art, and if you got up close to it, you could see little birds or boats or cars or something. But if you step back, you realize that the picture is about something completely different. That's what the Old Testament is. You get in close and you see all this detail about sacrifices and history and who was killing whom and who married whom.
Yeah.
But if you step back, all of that noise, and it really it's noise, disappears and there's a portrait of Jesus painted.
Yeah.
And it's incomplete, but it's a portrait of Jesus. You can reckon that's why they call it a shadow. And then Jesus shows up. And that's why this faith thing is so vitally important, because it's by faith that we see that picture of Jesus.
Yes, indeed. For example, it talks about by faith Joseph. So Joseph mm-hmm. was a favorite son of Jacob.
Yeah.
And it says he made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Now, why is that such a big deal? Well, because the story of the exodus is really the story of our salvation in Christ.
Yes.
We were set free from sin and death. We were slaves to sin, as the New Testament tells us. And so we needed deliverance. And it's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we're set free. We're loosed from that bondage. We're given new life. And we enter into not a land, but a rest in Jesus. So that whole story of the Exodus is really symbolic and a foreshadowing of what Christ has accomplished for us. And I think Paul was thinking about that Exodus when he penned Romans, and particularly yes. Romans 6, when he talks about the fact that we have been buried in
baptism.
In baptism, yeah. placed into Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the Exodus story
yes.
retold in its fullness in, mm-hmm. in the gospel of Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
Peter does the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So here Jacob is commended for mentioning the Exodus. And then we go to Moses, who was the one that God raised up to lead the people out of Egypt, to really talk about this Exodus story. And he's commended for his faith on several different points.
Yeah.
The fact that his mom hid him and protected him, that was an act of faith. There were other things that the writer of Hebrews mentions, particularly the Passover,
yes.
that he you know, encouraged to put the blood on the doorpost and participated in that initial Passover in seeing God protect his people. And an amazing story in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. But again, it's symbolic of what Christ accomplished, isn't it?
Yeah. What else can you say? I mean, here we have a group of people who are held hostage. They're slaves. The people who are holding them slaves are told, look, they're going to be painting blood on their doorposts, and an angel is going to come over, and your firstborn are going to die unless you paint the blood on your doorpost.
Yes.
And Pharaoh says, not my son. Hmm. And so Pharaoh goes one-on-one with God. Well, who's going to win? God is going to win. And yet, here's Moses and the people looking at this situation and saying, there's no way for us to get out of here. I mean, who... what are we going to do, rise up in revolt and beat the army? Of course they're not. It's only going to happen if God saves them. His grace or nothing. His grace or nothing for us too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting. One of the things that the writer of Hebrews points out about Moses is that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward.
Yeah.
So even before he was tapped on the shoulder to be the leader, even before this Passover event happened, before the parting of the sea, he knew that there was something greater in the promises of God than what was available to him in the world at large. And that shaped him,
yes.
That transformed him. And we need the same type attitude in today's world. I mean, we're being bombarded by all kinds of temptations, but what we have in Christ is more valuable. And if we will hold to that truth, it will protect us from so many things that come our way in this life.
Indeed. Well, with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, it is Basic Gospel, and it's our study through the book of Hebrews. Hope you're enjoying the study, everybody. And if you've missed any of the sessions, any of the previous sessions along the way, or to review anything that we've already covered, just visit basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire Hebrews series is there for you. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching. We hope you are enjoying the study as much as we are presenting it for you.
Well, thanks, Bob. And boy, this is a lot of fun.
It is.
I mean, going through the book of Hebrews, I think most people, when they look at the book of Hebrews and read maybe the first chapter or something, they're like, this is just too theologically dense. But man, this is life.
This is
believing the promises of God and living it out in day-to-day life. I mean, this is the adventure of Christianity.
Yeah,
and boy, some people by faith, were caught up into great things and great deeds, and boy, their stories are stories of legend. And then there's others that had different experiences, but it was faith in Jesus motivating each and every one, and that's what we get out of this. That this is life. This isn't a series of doctrines to believe or a doctrinal statement to check off and say, hey, that identifies me. This is sharing in the very life of Christ, and the way we do it is by faith.
Yes.
So this is a dynamic chapter. This is the story of adventure in Jesus Christ.
Notice the grace and mercy of God. And by the way, this chapter is told from God's perspective, not from a human perspective, with Moses. Just pick Moses. Moses never forgot who he was. He chose to be an Israelite, right? And then he got it all wrong. He took it into his own hands. He had this vision of what was supposed to happen, and he just committed a heinous crime. And he has to run away, and God finds him and restores him. And 40 years of herding sheep, think about this, 40 years of herding sheep prepared him for 40 years of hurting the Israelites.
Yes, it is.
The mercy of God and the grace of God, when God shows up in the burning bush, I mean, the way he puts it here, he saw him who was unseen. And then at the mountain, he saw him who was unseen. That, if God can work with Moses, he can work with me.
Yes, absolutely. And all he's asking is for a heart that believes.
Yeah.
That's all he's looking for. Faith is what pleases God, and boy, we try to add so much to it, but isn't he going to be pleased with this or with that or with the other? Well, if it's not motivated by faith, he's not going to be pleased with it. What he's pleased with is that simple, pure devotion of heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to end this program with. If we look back and what we've covered thus far, and we've talked about, Noah, and we've talked about Abraham, and now we're talking about Moses. And in all of that, we see the plan of God for the salvation of every human being emerging. So we see Noah building an ark. Well, that ark was to protect them from the judgment of God upon evil that was in this world. By faith, Noah built that ark. And those who believed Noah and believed in the plan of God for salvation entered that ark. Everybody else died in condemnation and judgment.
Yeah.
And in those floods of waters. So the plan of God at that point was an ark. What does that ark point us toward? The ark of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The very substance they put on the ark to keep water from getting in is one of the words used to describe the work of Jesus Christ in taking away our sins and protecting us from the wrath to come. And it's the plan of God in Jesus. It was a foreshadowing. Yes. We see in Abraham the sacrificing of his son and the giving back of his son. What does that foreshadow? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God did give his only son in death. And this Jesus endured the cross, carrying the shame, knowing that he was going to be raised back to life so that we too could be raised to walk in the newness of life. And then we see in this Passover, we see the shed blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So these guys weren't just randomly saying, oh, I believe God exists. There was a revelation of truth that mm-hmm. came to them. And that revelation of truth was anchored, was tethered to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why they were commended for their faith, because they were looking forward to the promise that would come through the seed, that one seed named Jesus. So they look forward. We look back in history to see the accomplishment that God did for us in Christ. Powerful, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, think about these guys. It wasn't like Isaac or Jacob gathered his 12 sons around him and said, okay, now because of the promise and because of who we are and what this means, regarding Jesus, of course, we have to behave a certain way and talk a certain way. They never did that. Yeah. They just lived their lives by faith. They didn't see what was coming. They considered it guaranteed, however, because of who told them, the one true God. That's all he asks of us. Yes. Trust me. And live your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what's God going to say about you on that day of judgment? How is he going to tell your story? He is going to tell your story through the lens of faith.
Yeah.
And because you have trusted in Jesus, because you have confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, yours is going to be an eternal story of your faith in him. And God is well pleased with you because of that faith. And God is going to shout that story to all. Why? Because he loves his son. He loves Jesus. And anyone connected to Jesus, anyone who is in Jesus, he loves as if they were his son. And that is the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus was in this world, just as God the Father treated him and treats him today, God the Father is going to treat you in the same way because you've believed the message concerning Jesus.
Absolutely. And what a message it is. Friends, we're so glad that you've been with us today for this study through the book of Hebrews. If you have any questions about anything you've heard on the broadcast, well, we encourage you to call 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to address it this coming week on Basic Gospel. In the meantime, a reminder that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and we need your help to sustain the ministry and take this message to others who need to know of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's all work together to make that happen. Click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. And when you give this month, we have a very special gift to say thanks for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, that's 844-322-2742 to make your contribution, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.